Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the morning. It's a Sunday fun day. You got Joe Galina. You got George Kurtz. George, how's it going today, man?
Good morning, Mr. Galina. It's going. Not such a beautiful Sunday morning, raining. Yeah, a little miserable day here. Hey, but it's not snow, so I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in the Northeast, we've kind of like dodged the bullet so far. We've had, you know, a couple of small little storms. But the worst one was like, I think in early November, where it just basically seemed to take New York City by surprise and shut down the city. It was taking like 3 and 4 hours for people to get home. Remember that day? It was just wild. But we've been lucky. But hey, we've also been lucky because we've been getting to watch some live baseball action since Friday, and we got the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational Draft that's going to start today. Right, I believe at 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's a slow draft. That's a league started by Justin Mason. If you've heard him on this network in the past, Justin Mason, one of the hardest working people in fantasy, George.
Indeed, actually, I'm not in that, so I escaped that. But I am in. It's fine. I think it has the same name, the Fantasy Invitational Draft, Wednesday night on our other platform. That I'll be in with guys like Derek Cardi and trying to remember some other names that are in that league. But that'll be it's a live draft on air, 42 rounds.
Oh, what nice.
Yeah.
42 rounds on air? Wow.
Yeah. I was in it last year. Man, I don't remember it being 42 rounds. So that was that was a harsh reality. I'm like, 42 rounds?
Wow.
I'm going to be a little busy.
Yeah.
Scott Swaney, KJ Duke, a couple other guys. It's only a 10-team league. 10-team, 42-round draft starts Wednesday at 8.
Wow. And it'll go on till like next Wednesday at 8.
Well, you only got a 55-second clock, so you got to move.
Oh, good. Okay.
And like I said, I was in it last year. It's 420 picks. You can do the math. 420. Mm-hmm. So it's not terrible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's not a 12 or 15. You do a 15-team league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably the same amount of draft picks. If you do 23, you do the real quick math here, that's what, 330. So you're not that far off from that. So
right.
I'm okay with it, and that'll be my first real draft so far this season.
Yeah, this is my first real one. Did a couple of mocks in preparation of this TGFBI draft. I think last year there were 15 individual, 15-team leagues. And this year it expanded. I went to the website. It just was scrolling down. There's seems to be 21 this year. So that's 315 players in the industry. So it's a 30-round draft, slow draft on playing on the NFBC platform. So, following their rules, there's no trading. So that's NFBC rules, and you're able to make Friday lineup changes in your offense, not pitchers, and there's no DL spots in the league. So very competitive. I believe Clay Link won the whole thing. He's from RotoWire last year, and our own Frankie Stanfill that you could hear on BFFs 5 days a week from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern time and also on demand. He finished fourth overall, so I was very impressed with the way he finish this season. So Frankie knows his stuff. Follow him on Twitter and listen to his show. But the Tout Wars Draft and Hold League still currently drafting. That's a slow draft, just like this TGFBI is. I'll be drafting in this TGFBI from the 12th spot, George. Do you have a preference this year for where you want to draft?
Well, you know, I look at it in two ways. You know, generally I like to say I like a draft in the middle. You know, so mm-hmm. we're a 12-team league, you're on 5, 6, 7. This way you're not on the end of any run, you're not on the wrong end of any runs. You know, you never right. have to wait too long. You always have to go. So that's one way to look at it. Another way is, you know, statistics tell you almost every year, every season, that if you pick first, you have the greatest overall chance of winning. Second, the second greatest overall chance. Third, mm-hmm. third greatest overall chance, and mm-hmm. on and on and on and on. So I guess I'd want the first pick if I had a choice there. You know, you want Mike Trout, you want Mookie Betts, whatever it might be. Unfortunately, hey, it doesn't happen to me all that often where I get the number one pick. I think out of all the things I've done each year, I've had Mike Trout twice in my life. And both times I finished second place when I had Trout.
Boom. All right.
No, I want to win.
All right. I'm sure you've won tons of leagues in your career. So
tons more.
But this was a Kentucky style, where you could kind of, put your preference where you want to draft. So I really, mixed it up, but my preference was like either the fourth or fifth slot. And if I had it at this stage, I think I would have went, believe it or not, Scherzer. And Scherzer seems to be going, in that fourth or fifth spot right now. I mean, to me, he's like still, even though he's in his early 30s or whatnot, has logged a lot of innings. I think that he's still like one of the guys that you really could rely on, without any question. I mean, obviously Chris Sale's awesome, but he had some injury issues last year, so you're a little worried. What do you think? Since we're talking like starting pitching, this Jacob DeGrom thing, where they're talking about the contract extension and all this, and that he kind of intimated that maybe he kind of like a self-imposed innings pitched, to save himself for a big contract. Do you think that any hesitation because of the little contract issue? Do you think that might weigh on his mind or whatnot, or any credence to the hints of maybe not, pitching as many innings as he normally would?
Well, that's the one leverage he does have. I'm going 6 innings and I'm done. I'm tired. I'm not going to pitch any 3 days rest or anything like that. That's the one leverage he does have. And that's the only leverage he has.
Right.
But when you think about it, he'll be 31 in June. All right. Mm-hmm. The Mets have him under contract for this year and next. So his leverage is nil, not a zero. You think about it. That means when you're a free agent, you're going to be you're 32 years old. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Mets, I understand he's going to be pissed off, but I'm not signing him to a long-term contract. Not this year. Not right now. He's having another big year.
Well, you're signing him off his career year.
It has nothing to do with that. I don't care about the career year. He's 30. He's going to be 31. Be 32 next year. Sooner or later, those numbers are coming down. I'm not giving him a 5-6 year deal. That's crazy. It's just crazy. If he wants to sign a 2-3 year deal, keep him until he's 35 and at big money, I could live with that. That's something I could talk about. I could sign him for 3 years. 60, 65 million. I can do that. Mm-hmm. But if he wants Patrick Corbin money, 140 million over, what was it, 6, 7 years? No, that's not going to happen. That'd be nuts. That's Jacob DeGrom's problem. He just, as far as a pitcher, he matured too late. He came to baseball too late. So that's free agency ends up hitting too late. Mm-hmm. No one's crying for Jacob DeGrom. He's still making good money. Was he making?
Yeah, I think he won arbitration a little over 17 million. I think he had. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's 17.1 off hand, but he's making $17 million.
That's why
he'll make more.
Yeah.
He'll make more next year. Assuming it's a good year, he'll make more in arbitration next year. He'll make close to $20 million. So he's making fine money here. But as far as a long term contract is concerned, not doing it. I'm just not doing it. So I think he's, and he knows this. And that's why it's a great game now between him and Brody BVW, the Mets GM, because the Mets GM was his agent. It's funny how last year, Jacob deserves a new contract, blah, 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 blah. Now I'm a GM. Well, let's slow this down a little bit. It's just amazing how this works. And you realize, maybe he doesn't deserve that long contract here. But so like I said, there's little leverage for DeGrom. The only thing he can withhold is saying, yeah, okay, as soon as I start to feel tired, I'm coming out of the game. I'm not risking my health, that sort of thing. And I don't know. DeGrom doesn't seem to me the guy who would do that. I just don't think he will. Plus, I expect the Mets to be competitive this season. I think he's going to want to be a part of that, of maybe making a run at the division title, making a run at the wild card. That National League East is going to be brutal when you think about it. You got the Braves. You got the Phillies. You know, Braves playoffs last year. Phillies, they've improved this year. Hell, I still think they're going to sign Bryce Harper. I think that's only a matter of time. I think once they sign Harper, I think they're going to make a run at Keuchel or Kimbrel. So they're going to add one of those two. I think those Keuchel or Kimbrel are sort of waiting for Harper to sign. Then they'll go. You know, the Washington Nationals, granted, they're not the team they used to be, but they're not going to be that far off either. Corbin helps that pitching staff. And then when you think about it, you lost Harper, but Robles is going to be there. So you're going to get some of that production from Harper back. It was like Harper had a great year last year anyway. So that's going to help.
Yeah, slumped for a long time.
Mets, Phillies, Braves, Nationals. That National League East is going to be a brutal division. I think it might be the best division in baseball this season.
Yeah, very Marlins competitive.
The Marlins are going to blow, and that's such a slight. It's a bad team. But the other four teams are all legitimate playoff contenders here. So I think DeGrom will want to be a part of that. He won't want to be the reason the Mets don't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to hold back services, but it's something interesting to watch. And it's like I said, it's the only thing that he could possibly threaten.
Yeah, and his counterpart, Syndergaard, it doesn't seem like he's worried about getting an extension, right? I have him quoted as saying, I trust my ability and the talent that I have, so I feel I'm going to bet on myself in free agency and not do what they, referring to Aaron Nola and Luis Severino, did. He further said, if it's fair for both sides and they approach me on it, then maybe we can talk. So, I mean, he's a guy that's... he's got like ace stuff. If he could just stay healthy, I mean, in one of these, mock drafts I did, Howard Bender from Fantasy Alarm puts these mock draft armies, really good tool, by the way, everyone to use. I mean, you can look at ADPs all you want, but, drafting is the way to, get yourself ready for the season. I ended up getting with the 12th pick, which is what I'll have in TGFBI. I got him in the fourth round. I feel he's dropping a little bit. Is it just the injury concern you think that's causing him to fall a little bit in drafts? I mean, because, if he stays healthy, I mean, he's going to give you, ace numbers. He's going to give you, Sale, DeGrom, and Scherzer-type numbers, in my opinion.
Well, he's only made 32 starts the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's obviously the health risk there. Yeah, when healthy is good, but you don't know for sure there. I mean, obviously, 2017 he was a bust. With the injury. So last year it was solid, but still he missed about 7-8 starts. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why in that promo, the only thing that really hurts the Mets rotation is injuries. Right. You heard me mention that before the show, and I that's the way it is. You don't know what you're going to get from Syndergaard. You assume at least 25 starts, I would assume. DeGrom's generally been healthy in the majors, so you think that's going to be pretty good. We all know the problems with Mats and Wheeler that they've had. So it's tough to rely, to really count on this rotation for... generally a season, like I said, for a starting pitcher, you could do 162 divided by 5, and you get 32, 33 starts. That's a full season. Now, right. In this day and age, you're not going to get that from too many pitchers. You're just not. So you're really hoping probably for 30, 28, 29, somewhere around there. And once again, you do that math, that's 120 starts between the four of them, around there. I don't think the Mets will get that. I think the Mets would be very happy with the 100-plus. They can reach triple digits. I think they're happy. That means, for the most part, the quartet stayed healthy, right? For the most part. Yeah, you might have had a deal here or there. And I don't think there's anything wrong. Once again, if your organization has enough starting pitching depth, you're not going to have more aces. But if you have solid pitchers, well, you give these guys a two-week break during the middle of the season. You let them rest for 2 weeks and put them on a DL with some, phantom injury.
Exactly,
shoulder sores.
Yeah.
Elbow sores. Everybody has shoulder and elbow sores if you're a pitcher. It's a must. So you give these
Dodgers
guys
are famous
break.
For it. Yeah.
So are the Red Sox. And the Yankees have done it, too. I mean, everybody does it to give these guys a break. Pitching is brutal for over a long season. So,
yes.
Listen, as far as drafting Syndergaard, that's about where he should go. Fourth round, top 48 player. That's about right. You want to argue for the third round? Okay. I'm good with that. So I have no problem having Syndergaard on my team, none at all. You know, I think he's going to win his share of games. The Mets offense should be better, where we don't have to, we'll have to worry about him giving up two runs in seven innings to get a win. And I don't think he's going to lose too many 2-1, 3-2 games here. But once I'll go say it again, that division, which is a majority of the starts, are going to come against that division. Man, that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of the Mets, it looks like the name change for Alonso helped them out. Call him Pete, not Peter. Hit a home run yesterday in spring training action. We'll be back. Talk more fantasy baseball with you. Listen to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, little Roy Orbison. Pretty Woman bringing us back. Classic tune. This was on my wedding video as my wife was coming out of the limo. George, can you believe I'll be married 25 years next week?
I'm also next week, next Saturday, actually. I'll be 18. I'll be 18 years. So congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. You too. It's definitely an accomplishment, right, for our wives to stick with us through all this stuff, right? Supportive with our careers and stuff, you know.
It's a punishment.
Yeah. March 5th. And cool stuff. So we were talking a little Mets. And let's go through some baseball news. I definitely want to just get your take on Manny Machado, and it's looking like the talks are hot and heavy also with Bryce Harper. But since we were talking Mets, Jed Lowry kind of like was going to be like what would you consider more? I mean, he's going to get a lot of at-bats, but he could play multiple positions, right? Yeah. Had an MRI, had a sore left knee. Initially, the team had said there was no significant damage. They didn't say there was no damage. They just said no significant damage. Now they're saying that there's some soreness behind his left knee. So I guess we'll see what happens. We'll have to keep an eye on that. Lowry coming off basically what was, a career, you would call it a career year, right?
I mean, he had a very good season with Oakland in a non-hitter's ballpark. That's a pitcher's ballpark. Ball doesn't fly out of Oakland at all, which would lead you to think that he's not going to get hurt by Citi Field, another non-hitter's ballpark there. Would I say he had a
23 home runs, 99 RBIs, yeah. I'd say
I would say, I'd say that's a career year for him.
For him, yeah.
He has, those are career highs in as far as home runs and RBIs. He has done better in average before, but only in three seasons now that I see it. Hey,
sometimes you go for the home run and you sacrifice your average sometimes, you know, especially today. That's what everybody wants to do is adjust their launch angle and hit home runs. Right?
True. It's the way the game has changed. A lot of general managers and baseball people don't think or think it's very difficult to string three hits together. You know, three singles will generally get you a run. Right. So they think that's too difficult, so they want you to hit the home run where one hit gets you a home run. I get it. I mean, theoretically, it makes sense. In today's day and age, now that every pitcher throws the ball 9,000 miles an hour, it's tough to get all these hits. For Lowry, the problem is, well, you mentioned Pete Alonso, Robinson Cano, Ahmad Rosario, Todd Frazier, Jed Lowry. So you got five hitters for four spots. Someone's got to sit each and every day. You know, technically that person is really supposed to be Jed Lowry. because he is the jack of all trades guy, utility guy, where he should be sitting more than the others. Now, once again, an injury could solve this problem all by itself. And hey, Lowry's hurt, so right now the problem is solved. I expect him to start the season on a DL. The IL. So he'll be out for a little bit. Maybe he returns in mid-April, whatever it might be. Drafting him is tough because, like I said, someone has to go down long-term for this really to work out for Lowry. Cano's not going to sit all that much, right? He's going to play as much as he can. Rosario's not going to sit. There's no Jed Lowry can't play shortstop. So Rosario really is the only true shortstop there. They just signed Hecheverria to be that backup shortstop. Whether or not he makes the team, who knows? You want to make an argument with me that Lowry should be starting over Todd Frazier? I'm not going to argue with you. I would probably agree with you. The only problem is Lowry at third base full season, not going to work out well. Yes, he can play third as a utility guy. He's not a full-time third baseman. That defense would suffer a little bit. He doesn't have that kind of arm really to play third base. It would suffer a wee bit. But second baseman is really where he's needed. First base, you can get by with him. I think the Mets are nuts if they don't play Pete Alonso full-time at first base. Yes, I understand his defense, which granted they've said has improved, but okay, what are they going to say? It sucks. It's terrible. He's a statue. He's got no hands. They're not going to say that. So of course they're going to say it's improved. The Mets don't need Alonso to be Keith Hernandez. They don't. They just need him to be not terrible. Catch the ball, be able to move a little bit. His biggest the knock on his defense is that, he is a statue. His range, he's got limited range. I think that's putting it nicely. That's about as much range as a Daisy air rifle, that sort of thing. It's just not he can't move from left to right all that much. So is he a little bit more fluid now? Can he at least be serviceable? That's what they're looking for, serviceable at first base. But I think the kid has to play. I mean, you mentioned yesterday his first at-bat, boom, home run center field. He's going to hit. I think if he plays for full-time 140 games, he hits 40 home runs. I think he is that kind of power threat. The Mets need that. With no Spettis there, no other, real big time threats there. I think they could use. I think they need him in the lineup to really help things out, especially in this day and age. Once again, long ball, get you a run. At least one, maybe four. So that sort of thing. That's what I expect the Mets to do. Cano is going to play. Rosario is going to play. I think it's more of Alonso, Lowry, and Frazier battling for those two spots. And what always worries me about teams. You got Frazier, you got Lowry, the grizzled veterans, the guys who have gone through the wars before and proved they can do it. Managers tend to lean on those guys. And it's the youngster, especially if Alonso gets off to a slow start, that suffers. And I think Alonso just needs to be left alone and let him play. Let Frazier and Lowry worry about third base, or let Lowry worry about giving a rest, a rest every now and then to Rosario, a rest every now and then to Cano when they need it. Other than that, leave Alonso alone.
Yeah, his NFBC ADP is, we're talking about Pete Alonso, is 257. So in a 15-team league, it's, I guess, about the 18th round, and we're talking maybe 21st or so round in a 12-team league. So, I'm thinking at least 30 home runs. You're saying up to 40, very possible. He's shown that he's a pure power hitter in the minor league. So to get that potential type of production from that deep in your draft, nice little sleeper for you in your drafts. So
but the only problem is going to be the playing time. I imagine in the end, if I had to pick it up, it'd be closer to 30, because I don't think he's going to play 140 games.
Right.
That's the problem here. He's going to have to prove himself, and that's going to be an issue coming out the bat, especially with, once again, five guys, four positions. It's always the youngster that generally suffers here, especially with the defensive the worries and stuff like that. His average may not come along with it. That's why he's falling in drafts here, because it may come. I don't know. He's not going to be a Joey Gallo guy. He's going to strike out 10,000 times and hit 40 home runs. Not quite that bad. But he may not be all that far off from that either.
Todd Frazier could open up the door for him, because 213 batting average for Todd Frazier in 2018. Also in 2017, 213, 2016, 225. I love Todd Frazier. I love what he brings to the bench, to the clubhouse or whatnot, but I don't know if he could. I think Alonso could overtake him, because right now, if you look at the Mets' depth chart, it's still so early in spring training, but Jed Lowry, they have penciled in as their third baseman, and Todd Frazier is penciled in as their first baseman, and Cano and Rosario. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt, but it's the official MLB depth chart for the Mets, and I'm sure it's going to change as the spring goes on. So we'll see what happens there.
It better. Freya shouldn't be starting over anybody.
But again, you got to love just his enthusiasm when the camera's on him. You know, he's always at the top of the step in the lineup. But you're right. Unfortunately, it seems that the game might have passed him by a little bit. And so we'll see. Played for the Yankees, New Jersey native, right? Now he's playing for the Mets, so we'll see what happens. But so let's talk about Manny Machado finally signing his 10-year, $300 million deal with the Padres. And FanDuel had an article which, interestingly enough, mentioned that his salary gives him almost $63,000 per hour of game time, which is more than the average annual salary of a typical American worker. How about that?
you always hear weird stats like that. How much these guys make per inning pitched or per at bat? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's great. You know, let you know how much money that really is that they're making. It's just a psychotic amount here. That being said, hey, that's the game. You know, I'd rather the players make it than the owners. Little as the owners are, all these owners are making money hand over fist, but we always complain when the players get paid. It really makes very little sense. I'll truly never understand that. I guess is the reason why we complain about the players making money is because of the cap reasons. By signing this guy, now you can't sign this guy. Yeah, that sort of thing. But other than that, it's really kind of silly. Manny going to San Diego, I'm not going to say it was a shock. You know, maybe a slight surprise. You know, mainly because we know he wanted to play in New York, or at least his wife wanted him to come in New York. But the Yankees were never involved, just never involved. And I think I've said it a million times. I think once he made that statement about not hustling, he pretty much eliminated New York as a chance for him to go there. That wasn't going to wait to play here. The Yankee fans really liked Cano, but they would still get on him for not hustling. And he produced in New York, and he was a favorite here. But they still get on him. You know, if Machado would have come to New York, and he would have got started off over 16, I don't know if the fans would have ever forgiven him. And those statements he made. God forbid he ever would have pulled Gary Sanchez last year when Sanchez didn't run out the first base and literally cost the Yankees a game. Granted, it ended up being Sanchez went on with DL at that game for 6 weeks, but still. The fans seem to have a very short memory when it comes to that. So he goes to San Diego.
But if you're going to be no Johnny Hustle kind of, you know, laid back kind of guy, what better place to go to than Southern California? Get that California vibe, no? and $300 million.
I never buy that crap. That's because it's California, you can lay back. I will go buy that. Hey, it's not New York.
Have you been to California?
Philadelphia. It's sports, people want to win. It's not quite that. It's better than going to New York. The fans treat it differently. Hmm. You know, Philadelphia would have crushed them. Yankee fans would have, Mets fans would have, New York fans would have crushed them. Boston fans, same thing. St. Louis fans are very into the game. California's sort of more of a laid back. You know, the fans, they get there late, they leave early. I don't mind the move here. You know, the way I look at it, San Diego is one of the best minor league systems in the game.
Yeah, right? I think so number one. Mm-hmm.
They were on their way anyway to being a good team, all right? And now you add Machado, maybe that speeds it up a year. You know, so now they can compete. They're not going to compete this year. No matter what they do, they can sign Harper, they're not going to compete this year. All right, I can play a little game with Mr. Galena here. Name me one starting pitcher on the San Diego Padres.
Lucchese.
All right, name me somebody
Joey
else.
Joey Lucchese. Well, because Lucchese I would have been able to name because I owned them last year in one of my leagues. But only because I have the depth chart. I have a Lauer, Erlen. Yeah, it's like it's a terrible, terrible. Well, it could potentially be a terrible, terrible starting pitching staff.
It's a bad staff. Mm-hmm, okay, it's a bad staff. They're not going to compete this year. They would need to add. If you sign Keuchel, I don't think Keuchel's all that great an addition, by the way. And if you sign Keuchel, apparently they did have some talks with them. Those things fell through. Great.
Right.
That gives you a number three. You know where the other starts coming from.
It's just a number three starter. Is what you're saying, right? And Keuchel, and I kind of agree with you if that's what you're saying. Are you saying
Keuchel has all sorts of issues. Between age and his fastball fastball being not too fast. But their starting pitching staff is Lucchese, Erlen, Logan Allen, Brian Mitchell, you know, the ex-Yankee Matt Strahm, you got Lauer. It's not there. It's just not there. All right, the hitting is there. Me with Machado, Hosmer, say whatever you want about the $144 million he's getting paid, still, man can hit. Kinsler, you know, you add Tatis when he comes up. You know, I assume now he's a shortstop there now. You know, Urias will probably move to second base. Myers, Margeau, Hunter Renfroe in the outfield. This team can hit. it can hit. But the
pitching staff is
not
interesting too.
But the pitching staff's not there. It's not there. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to compete this year. But they are rated as one of the best farm systems in the game.
Yep.
And they have more players coming up. And like I said, Tatis is supposed to be pretty much a superstar. You know, Urias is already there. Mackenzie Gore will eventually be their ace. Chris Paddock could be a number two starter. You know, so they have guys there. Patino's there. Marjan's there. So they have guys that are coming up. But they'll need a year or two before they truly, you know, activate to the majors and away we go. So I don't mind the move for San Diego for that reason. Yes, Machado may have to eat it for a season or two of not being in a competitive atmosphere. Certainly better than Baltimore, mind you. But he'll have to eat it for a year or two. And then the next 8 years, or at least the next 3 years, I should say, he can opt out after year five, which I assume he will. You know, once again, they all opt out because they get more money again. You know, he'll opt out then. So you have 3 years, really, of Manny when you should be contending. And if everything goes right for San Diego, and by that I mean you don't expect every prospect to hit. That's unrealistic that everyone's going to be great. But if there are more hit than not, and you keep adding a free agency, I'm not talking for top free agents, but guys, you know, you keep filtering it in here. This is a team to watch over the next 5, 7, 8 years as far as being a dangerous team. Like I said, good team already on the field, especially on the offensive side. And now you're adding Machado, and now you add this farm system in? I mean, if I'm a Dodgers, I'm not thrilled about this. Yeah, this is a team to watch out for in the National League West.
Yeah, yeah. There were even rumors. I think John Heyman had said that at one point the Padres were going to meet to discuss the potential of pursuing Harper, but haven't heard anything more of that. But yeah, I agree with you. You know, combination of the players that are on the way up, some of them that are there already. Like I said, I'm intrigued about their outfield. You know, they got a lot of talent in that outfield, and see who will emerge. I mean, like Hunter Renfro. You know, they got a lot of moving parts that could make them contenders. So what do you think about the Machado's fantasy value? I don't think it really all that much. It doesn't shift all that much for me. I still think of him as more a later first round, you know, to a mid second round pick. You look at his career home and away stats. There is a significant difference in a way. You know what I mean? Like he bats 25 points higher when he was playing in Camden Yards. And Camden Yards is known as a hitter's park. His career slugging at Camden, .534, on the road, .464. Another interesting thing I noted, and I got a little grief for it, was, first of all, he preferred to play short, right? That's what he had said. But he's going to be their everyday third baseman for now. And, you know, his numbers, even though he has a lot more bats at third, believe it or not, his numbers when he's playing shortstop are a little higher, .296 batting average to .279. I mean, it probably doesn't mean anything, but it's just something that I just noted. But what do you think about his fantasy value going forward?
Well, it takes a little bit of a hit. I mean, you live in Camden Yards, one of the best hitting parks of the majors, for San Diego. Now, granted, San Diego's not quite the pitcher's park it was. They moved the fences.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they made it better. Not great, but better for hitters there. Once again, it's cooler air at night at near the water out there, so the ball doesn't travel. That's the issue. The ball just doesn't travel there. Going to play a lot of games in Chavez Ravine, San Fran, two more parks where the ball's not going to travel very well. But you also sort of offset that because you got all those games in Colorado and Arizona.
Yeah
the humidor and all that crap. But once again, I think it offsets there. So I don't think he's a first-round pick. He's a second-round pick. That's what it is for me. You know, he'll be your third baseman. Could have some shortstop eligibility in leagues there. And I'm good with that. You know, as for Manny not playing shortstop, well, he's a much better defensive for a third baseman than he is a defensive shortstop. It just comes down to that. He's too big at this point. Not a shock.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, continue fantasy baseball discussion. Bryce Harper talks going hot and heavy. Catch up on the rest of the news of the MLB.
From From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Joe Galina. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Galina. Joined, as always, by my buddy, George Kurtz. Follow him at George Kurtz. Sean Angle producing our show, keeping us flying straight, bringing us in with a little techno version of a little Genesis song. And
Man of Confusion.
I know you're a Genesis kid. Yeah. Love that. Always love that video with the puppets and the Ronald Reagan puppet getting splashed in the face in his bed.
Nuclear nurse.
Stuff. Yeah. So good stuff. Hey, we lost I don't know, would you call him an icon? I mean, Peter Tork from the Monkees. You a big Monkees guy?
I mean, I guess back in the day, I didn't mind them. Certainly not a group I think about much or I thought about much from now. So I certainly wouldn't call myself a big fan. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was a kid, I was, I'm talking kid now, you know, like elementary school. They would replay the shows and they'd be on it when I came home from school. And I'd consider myself at that time, you know, a big fan. I remember, in between, you know, the commercials while I was watching the show, they used to be that you'd be able to order their album, right? You know, so I'm all hyped on the show. So, I think I called on my own without telling my mom. And that was back in the day where, you know, you could order something off of TV and not have to give them a credit card or anything, right? It was like charge on delivery. So the mail, you know, I'm waiting weeks for this album to come. It finally comes. And then when the mailman rings the bell, you know, you have to pay him. So my mother's like, I didn't order this. So she sent it back. So it was a sad day. But I got over
no
it.
Monkeys
I got
for
over
you.
It. Yeah. Yeah. And now I have a Monkees Greatest Hits CD and, you know, could stream it on
my phone
and wherever. No? Okay. If you want to borrow it, I'll let you. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. You're real hard. Hey, we're the Monkees.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. What are they on? Gilligan's Island, too, or something like that?
No. Oh, well, God. I mean, they...
Thank you, Sean.
Sean, on cue, the man. Did you have a favorite Monkey there, George?
No. I wasn't anywhere near the fan that you were.
Yeah. My favorite Monkey was Mickey Dolenz. Hey, Sean, did you ever...
I'm the only name I know.
Yeah. No, you don't know Davy Jones? And Mike Nesmith, the guy with the wool hat? His mother, was part of the invention
and Davy
of White
Jones. I know those names. Mike Nesmith, no, that's the name I didn't know.
Mike Nesmith, yeah. Sean, you're a young guy, but you know a lot about like old stuff. Like, did you ever watch like in syndication the Monkees?
I never actually got around to watching the Monkees show. I have heard some of their music before, of course, but never watched the show.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Well, you didn't miss anything.
MeTV is going to do an hour of them at like 5 o'clock tonight, so you could catch some of their stuff. So. R.I.P.
I'll be catching at 5 o'clock as a nap.
There you go. All right, well, good stuff, Sean. Thank you very much for giving us that little clip there. So Bryce Harper, the talks are hot and heavy, right? The Phillies owner John Middleton landed in Vegas, I think, on Friday, and I don't know if he ever left. I mean, I don't know. I guess what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and when we need to know, we'll find out. Because at this stage, right, Nationals have said, hey, we haven't heard from this guy in ages, so we've moved on. right? The White Sox, who were supposedly in on him a little bit, they really wanted, let's face it, the White Sox wanted Machado. They had his brother-in-law there, his friend, John Jay. And I kind of, that's where I thought he was going to end up, you know, with a shorter term. He has a 5-year opt-out with the Padres. I figure maybe with the White Sox, maybe they would have given him a 3-year opt-out just to, you know, entice him to come. But so the White Sox aren't bidding on Harper. Like I mentioned, there was a rumor that the Padres would consider it, but that's not happening. And the Giants had been linked to Harper. So now it looks like it's almost like Phillies are bust.
Well, listen, I've been saying it for months. Philly was, in my mind, was going to sign one of Machado or Harper. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think Machado's a, I think Harper's a better fit for them. The outfield yes. help, I think they could survive with shortstop, with Segura, actually more than survive, he's a good shortstop. And absolutely. Franco, well, was pretty good at the end of last year, so I think you'd like to give him another shot there at third. So I think it makes
battling
more sense
Kingery for
there.
The job, though. Yeah, but you're right, he did play pretty well last year.
Once again, you got the Philadelphia owner saying he was going to spend a crazy amount of money. Well, right now he hasn't even spent a silly amount of money. So where's this crazy amount of money coming from? It should be going for Harper. And I think if and when they do sign Harper, they'll sign one of Keuchel or Kimbrel to either help the bullpen or the rotation. And I think this, if they sign Harper and one of Keuchel or Kimbrel, I think this makes them the favorite in the National League East. What division? Once again, I think it's going to be the toughest division in baseball. Maybe you want to make an argument for the National League Central? I'm good with that, too. St. Louis, Milwaukee, Chicago. Cincinnati's made some upgrades there. Not enough, but some upgrades there as well. Pittsburgh's not a terrible team, just not a good one. So that'll be a division to watch, also, in my opinion. So I think they will sign Harper, assuming Harper does want to go there. We've heard some rumors that he doesn't want to go to Philadelphia. He's not thrilled about whatever, like the fans, the city, whatever. And I will say this. Man, if those rumors are true, don't go there, Bryce. Don't go. Because if you don't want to be in Philadelphia.
They'll eat you alive, man.
Right. And the fans feel that. And then you're not performing, it's all over with the crying, man. They won't forgive you, and they'll be all. You'll have a miserable time. I don't care how much money you're making. You'll be miserable. So I'll say that. That is true. We don't know if that's true. We don't know where these rumors got started from. Is it from Bryce? Is it from some random person out in the middle of Iowa? Who the hell knows? You know, so, but if it's true, man, I wouldn't go there. I don't care how much money. Because if things don't go well, I mean, we love the ballpark. It's a bandbox, right? Right field, home runs, easy. Center field, no problem. Even left field, no problem. He'll have a great time there as far as stats. He should have a great time as far as stats. But if he's not going to be happy there, then don't go. It's strange, Joe. I mean, hey, it's February 24th. You mentioned it earlier. We have spring training games Friday, yesterday. And spring training's in full effect now. Everyone's playing. Yet still, we're waiting for guys to sign here. Top guys, Harper, Kimbrel, Keuchel. Keuchel, I think, has just overpriced himself. You know, as he thinks he's someone great, he's not. His numbers all tell you he's going in the wrong direction here. Kimbrel had to come out and defend yesterday that he's not going to sit out the season. You know, but Kimbrel also, what do you want at the beginning of free agency? He wanted a 6-year contract over $100 million. I mean, he wasn't going to get that. Even in a great market, he wasn't going to get that. More or less the market now that's falling apart the past couple of years. So that's part of the reason as well. These guys want so much money. But still, for these guys to be unsigned on February 24th, and you might say, it's still early. Season starts March 28th. A week earlier, if you're Oakland or Seattle, they play in Japan. So it's not early. Man, February only has 28 days. Season's 32 days away. You know, it's just a little over a month here. So for these guys, especially pitchers, not to be in camp ready, I think batters, it does take a little less to get to get in game shape for hitters. I think hitters need about 3-4 weeks, and they'll be ready. So I think Harper, assuming he signs, let's say within a week, by the end of next weekend, I think he'll be fine. Not worried about him. He'll get his at-bats. But, and maybe even Kimbrel, reliever. It's a little different, and he only needs to go one inning at a time. But Keuchel needs to get his throws in. He needs to get his innings in, and right now he's running out of time here. The longer he's out, I don't care how much throwing he's doing on the side. You know, maybe he's pitching the high school teams. We always hear this. He's pitching the high school teams. You know, it's just not the same thing. Keuchel will be somebody. I'm already worried about him anyway because I think all of his numbers are declining, the kind of pitcher he is. He's lucky he can break a pane of glass with his fastball. And now he's not in camp too. I'm much more worried about Keuchel out of these three.
Yeah, I agree with you. When it comes to pitching, pitchers need to get their throws in, so absolutely. And when you talk about all the money that these free agents are looking for, I mean, once Trout is a free agent, which I think it's happening in a couple of years, if, let's say, Harper, and supposedly according to, I think, Boris, they've turned down like five $300 million or $300 million plus deals, which I find hard to believe. But, hey, so let's just presume that Harper gets his $300 plus million deal, and that's what Boris is angling for, right, to get a little bit of a bigger deal than Machado got. Still the biggest deal in history was the one that Giancarlo Stanton signed with the Marlins. But what is Trout going to get? I mean, just, you know what, $750 million? I mean, what's his turn? I mean, Trout Harper's a nice player, but he's very streaky and all and whatnot. But Trout bats, when these guys, you know, time to sign their long-term deals, what the heck are they going to get?
Well, Trout's the best player in baseball. Right? Mm-hmm. He's better than Machado. He's better than Harper. All right, so
yeah,
he's going to.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was free right now, he'd certainly get more money. And the fact that he's not free until a few more years means the market could go up. Could go. We don't really know what's going on. The market is definitely strange of what's going on right now. So maybe it'll correct itself. Who knows? I think with Trout, becomes a free agent. Listen, there's only two teams he's going to go to. One, the hometown Phillies, and Lord knows they want him, and I do think he wants to be there. And they'll have the money. They'll have the money. And the other team would be the Yankees. You know, does he want to play for the Yankees? You know, that sort of game there. I think those are the only two teams that would be even close to on his wish list of teams to go to here. So I think, and for really, for both teams, it's not like they have to prepare for Trout. Oh, we can't sign this guy because we need to prepare for Trout when he's a free agent. You know, they don't. They both teams have money. Trout's not a free agent until, 21. You know, he's still got this season and next at $33 million. That's his base salary, $33.25 this season and next. So you do the numbers. He's making $33 million a year now. That goes up, right? He'll be 29 when he's a free agent. 29. So I don't know if he'll get a 10-year deal. I don't, but it'll be close. You know, let's say he gets $35 million, maybe $40 million a year. Even at 8 years, it's $320 million. I mean, I think he gets at least an 8-year contract. So would it shock me if he forced himself to get $400 million, 10 years, $40 million, and he play until he's 39? No, it wouldn't. You know, so it wouldn't at all. So it'll be interesting when Trout comes up here. I said, bottom line is both teams will have the money, but Trout, listen, he's got to wait 2 years. I think the Angels can try all they want to sign him. There's no franchise tag in baseball, so he's a free agent in 2 years. And if I'm the Angels, first thing is, you damn well better try and put a competitive team on the field, because if you don't, he's leaving. There's no doubt he's leaving. Mm-hmm. He is an East Coast guy. Granted, I certainly wouldn't want to leave, you know, out in California, warm weather, go to Philadelphia, freeze your ass off in March and April. Mm-hmm. You know, and October's not all that great either out here. But he's from here. He seems to like it here. Right? He's always back for seeing the Eagles.
He's always at the Eagle games.
Like,
yeah.
Right. He's always there. So I'd sort of be surprised if he's not a Philly in 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be interesting.
But I think the bottom line for me is, though, that's not a reason not to sign Harper now. They can afford both. Right. Philly's they got the new TV contract from like 2-3 years ago.
Imagine Bryce Harper, they're another Trout team in the same outfield. Yeah, yeah.
They're another team that prints money. All right, they have plenty of money. You know, I think I forget who said it, but one of the people inside baseball said, outside of maybe the Athletics and the Rays, every baseball team could sign Harper and Machado and still make money. You know, the degree of money, the amount of money, of course, will be less, but they would still make money. You know, and that lets you know that the bigger teams, they could do it and still make a ton of money. You know, so it's just how much money you want to make. You want to make a crazy amount of cash, or it's a silly amount of cash.
Right. Interesting stuff there. Like I said, imagine an outfield with Trout and Harper in it. Pretty impressive. You went back to Keuchel a couple of times here. 31-year-old left-hander had rejected a $17.9 million qualifying offer from the Astros. Wonder if he's, you know, kicking himself about that. But supposedly the Phillies might be in on him. I guess it depends on I guess the rumor is that if they can't get Harper, then they're going to kick the tires with Keuchel and Kimbrel. But when you look at 2015 Cy Young Award winner, At the start of this free agency season, he had been looking for a five-year deal. But you mentioned, you know, he never really had. I was looking at his numbers in terms of his fastball. You're right. It's not, you know, it's just barely about 90 mile an hour. But that's pretty much what it always was. And it was comparing some of his pitching stats from his Cy Young Award winning year to last year. And you look, his sinker seems to be the pitch that he throws the most. And in 2015, hitters were hitting 233 against it. Last year, they were batting 282 against it. His slider in 2015, batting average against was 106. Last year, 252. And, like you said, he doesn't really have an intimidating fastball, but it really wasn't what he was relying on. But if you look, the two of the three ERA estimators, FIP and XFIP, put last year's ERA below four. So, like we said earlier in the show, I mean, look, he's not going to be an ace by any means, but a team like I was looking at the Braves might be a decent fit for him if the Phillies aren't in on him. I think you agreed basically earlier in the show, maybe like a number three starter on a major league team.
You know, obviously, it depends on the team. I think he's a guy you want to bring in if you're you're competing. If you're going for I think the Phillies do make sense. I think the Braves mm-hmm. make sense. I don't mm-hmm. think the Padres make sense because they're not competing this year. You know,
right,
you really need
right.
still another year or two. So I don't think that makes a lot mm-hmm. of sense to bring all on and pay him that kind of money. The problem mm-hmm. is, you're absolutely right. He should have accepted the qualifying offer. He's yeah. not wherever he ends up, he's not going to make $17 million. I think it was $17.1 mm-hmm. offhand. He's not going to make that. You know, mm-hmm. so that's going to be a problem here. Maybe he wanted Patrick Corbin money. That wasn't going to happen. All his numbers mm-hmm. are trending in the wrong direction. You already mentioned a few of them. And there are plenty of others here. Mm-hmm. They're just trending in the wrong direction. I mean, his strikeouts mm-hmm. per nine inning are down almost two from his Cy Young year. He's 31 years old now. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. The bottom line is his numbers mm-hmm. are all the problem here. You put him in Philadelphia and that bandbox, that won't work out well. Atlanta, I do like him there because it's granted it's a slight batter hitter's park, but it's not a major one. Philadelphia is a Citizens Park is a major hitter's one. He's going to have issues there. I think he deserves a job. Absolutely. But I think mm-hmm. he priced himself out right now. And, you know, it always comes down to me with these players who turn down the qualifying offer. Are they a little embarrassed now? Because they know their AAV is going to end up being less than that.
Right. Right. All right. We got lots more to talk about. A little Clayton Kershaw. I want to talk about Sonny Gray, too. We got lots more fantasy baseball talk for you. Listening to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.